So this past week we celebrated what is considered to be the birth date of our nation, July the 4th. It's not really uniquely the birth date of our nation. It is not the date on which the Revolutionary War began. The Battle of Lexington and Concord would be the first, as far as we know, battle or firing of shots at one another that we had in the Revolutionary War. Here's what Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, has to say, to give them credit for their content, which I've copied here and put into this sermonette. It says there on Wikipedia.org, the battles of Lexington and Concord were the first military engagements of the American Revolutionary War. The battles were fought on April 19th, date-wise, more than a year before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We mark the birth date of our country, and really, July the 4th was not the signing of the Declaration of Independence either. The Declaration of Independence wasn't signed by those people who adopted it on July the 4th for some couple of weeks following the adoption of it in Philadelphia. The battles were fought at Lexington and Concord on April 19, 1775, Middlesex County, Providence of Massachusetts Bay, within the towns of Lexington, Concord, Lincoln, Menomonee, M-E-N-O-T-O-M-Y, presently Arlington, and Cambridge. And so that was not July the 4th, the date, it was not the date of the signing, but even if it had been the date of the signing, it would not have been correct to say that it was the birth date of our nation. I wanted to, in this sermonette, consider one word from the Declaration of Independence, and that word is unalienable. It's kind of a mouthful. It's not a word which we would consider and use anymore in our society around us, and probably if it wasn't for the Declaration of Independence, nobody would know that word. But somehow we have sustained it through the years, and we still use it. The word unalienable. What does that word mean, and what does it mean in the context of our Declaration of Independence? Here's a definition. Unalienable is something. It could be a word, it could be a right. We refer to it, even if we are using it as a word, we refer to it as a right which we have and which cannot be taken away from us. It cannot be ripped away from us at all. It is accepted to be a right which is given to us not by other human beings, but by God. God gives us certain rights, doesn't He? And yet maybe we can think a little bit about some of those rights and think, you know, they're not so inalienable as we seem to think they are. We say about these unalienable rights, they are self-evident. And, you know, I think about the word sort of caught my fascination a little bit because in our society today, we have something new which has occurred to us which we call selfies. You know, people sit and they take, somehow I have never done this. I don't even take pictures at all myself, but I've never taken a selfie at all. But people take selfies, and I guess in some way this is a right that they refer to. It's a series of rights that they refer to in the Declaration of Independence, which sort of are like selfies. They're self-evident. You know, you make evidence of yourself. The best thing I could think of from the intellectual world was when I was in high school and we took plane geometry in class. Later on, I took solid geometry, and that was a little more complex. But you had to sit there and make these proofs up about why this thing was the way it was. And so that was kind of the purpose in geometry. And geometry often expressed certain things that could not be proved. At least to my satisfaction, they could not be proved. There were people who were still trying to prove that the shortest distance between two points was a straight line. You know, it seemed so simplistically obvious, but yet there were people in mathematics departments, high-level mathematics departments, trying to prove such really axiomatic things. And I don't know if they ever did or not. I left and went away for the next 40, 50 years, and I haven't heard that they have. But they did do that. That was a definition of an axiom, that which could not be sufficiently proved independently of itself. You just had to look at it and know that that was true. Shortest distance between two points. This triangle is congruent to that triangle, or this geometric, its plane geometric figure was congruent or exactly identical to another one. And we sat for a year in class going through those things and proving that they were so. These are self-evident things. So we talk about these alienable rights. They are axiomatic things which represent rights that cannot be taken away from us. Because why can they not be taken away from us? Because they originate from the God of the universe. And that's kind of interesting to look at when you think about the Declaration of Independence. 230, 40 years ago, Declaration of Independence was written by the highest level political and intellectual people in this nation, and they gave credit to the God of the universe for everything that they had, their right to do any and everything. Now that's kind of amazing compared to the world that we live in today, isn't it? What a contrast! What a contrast! Well, I thought about in relationship to this sermonette, I was going to do some cherry picking. You know, on July the 4th, we used to, in many years gone by, after we moved into New York for the earliest time, on the 4th of July, with Anita Strange, we would go to the cherry orchards on the eastern bank of Seneca Lake. There are a lot of cherry orchards there, and we would reserve a tree and we would pick cherries off of that tree. Well, cherry picking is a it's a figure of speech, isn't it? When we talk about cherry picking, that means we chose something but excluded other things. Well, that's what I mean in this case with cherry picking. We used to have to go to Fredonia every month to do our billings. And when I would go to Fredonia's, right along Highway 39, outside the big city of Fredonia, there was a place called Walker's Fruit Basket. And the first few times I rode by there, I saw they had a big sign out front that said, cherry cider. And so finally I stopped and bought some of that cherry cider, and it was terrific. It was terrific. And that went on for a couple of years, and then I stopped by there and said, we don't have it anymore. We're not going to have it anymore. And the reason being, I guess it was too popular and they were selling too much of it at too high a price to make any available to me. But that was my thought about that. Here is the cherry that I am picking as far as this sermonette goes. One of the self-evident, unalienable rights that are, three of which are enumerated in the Declaration of Independence. It says in the Declaration of Independence, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's one, two, three, as far as I can count them. And one of them is life. So I'm going to cherry pick life. And I'm asking here, is life, which you all know the answer to, an unalienable, self-evident right? It's not, is it? It's not. And yet we get up as a society and we read the Declaration of Independence every year, July the 4th, and pay no attention to the fact that we say it's an unalienable, unalterable right, when really it's quite apparent it's going to be taken away from us, isn't it? At least for a while. At least for a while. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, it is appointed to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So I'm a little bit better off now than I was not too long ago, and I don't feel I'm quite as near to death as I was. The success of the surgery that replaced the valve in my heart, or at the exit of my heart, the aortic valve, has been very successful. I have continually been gaining some strength, and I would like to thank you all for the prayers that you have prayed on my behalf. Not only those who are here, and many that I will not be able personally to thank as I am you, but I'd like to at least acknowledge to God that their prayers have been important to me, and that I appreciate it, and that I'm going to try and use the improvement that I have been given so that I can be a better servant in His work. It's appointed to men once to die. You know, we are not the only people who die. I mean, when I say we, the physical population of this whole earth are not the only ones who die. There's one example that goes above and beyond anything that we could otherwise imagine. And we had a friend in Estonia. His name was Andres Rips. But he called in when he asked to come and visit us at a public hearing, and said he would be there alone. And he told the telephone receiver, person who was receiving the message from him, that he alone would be there. And that meant, and that the word alone was Yuxi, one. I'm just one person coming. And the person thought that was his name. And he wrote his name down. And for a year, we carried him on our database as Andras Yuxi, the one and only. And so that's an interesting way to look at and to see. It's appointed two men once to die. Andras Yuxi was asked the question at that first gathering that we had that he came to. Can God die? And I'm sitting in front of the room, and somebody asks you, "Can God die?" How would you answer that question? I said, God did die. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is God. And therefore, we have an example that he died, but he went through the things that we as human beings must go through. He was resurrected to eternal life. Well, that's my cherry-picking sermonette. Today, do we have a self-evident, unalterable right to life? Unalienable is the word that's in the Declaration, but it's close to the word unalterable. Do we have a self-evident, unalterable right to life? No, we don't. God will give us life, and he will give us eternal life at the time when he chooses to do it. Do we think of that? Anytime, and you may from time to time, I do from time to time, hear that statement made in what is nationally, at least, our most revered document. Question: is life an unalterable right, unalienable right? Just the opposite, isn't it? It is unalterable, unalienable, that death, we have death. We will have, it is unalterable. It's appointed. It doesn't say that here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, but it infers it, and I think some of the translations do say it. It's appointed to all men once to die. Johnny Lambert, who was my father. I am Johnny Lambert, spelled with an I-E. He was spelled with a Y. Told me something when I was probably 8 years old, something like that. He said, there are only two things in life which are certain: death and taxes. Well, he left death as being as certain as taxes. Now, that means really for sure death is unalienable and unalterable, not life. We're going to die, and we will be given the opportunity to live again in one way or another way. The birth of our nation is celebrated July the 4th. We have been privileged to live here in this country in peace, relative peace, and relative safety. But we should remember that only God is in charge of some of our rights, which men have called unalienable.